I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today in the show, we are going to talk about the Islamic celebration of Ramadan. The Islamic celebration of Ramadan, which in Islam is it's their holy month of fasting and prayer, etc., and this kind of thing going on. But during this time, it's being reported that there are accelerated attacks that are happening, like this knife attack that happened in London, other attacks that are happening around the world. In fact, there are hundreds of attacks that are being reported. If you go to the website, thereligionofpeace.com, Religion of Peace, that maintains ongoing records month to month for whatever jihadi attacks are happening in different parts of the world. So far, 13 days into Ramadan, just so we understand, Ramadan this year began on Friday, May 26th, and it ends in the evening of Saturday, June 24th. So May 26th through June 24th, that is the Islamic month of Ramadan. Okay, now you've got websites like Breitbart. They've got an article here, Ramadan Rage 2017, the complete list of jihadist attacks around the world. And so they've compiled a whole list of the various attacks that are happening, where they've got attacks in Afghanistan. They've had at least three attacks in Afghanistan, one in Pakistan, in the Philippines, two attacks, one in Somalia, three in Iraq, in Nigeria, another one in Afghanistan, and the list goes on and on and on. They've got them in Kenya, in Yemen, in Germany, Cameroon, Tunisia, Iraq, England, India, Australia, and then again, Kenya, Iraq, and Iran, at least according to this list compiled by Breitbart. But you can look for that article there. Then you have on the website religionofpeace.com, they have their article, or their headline here, I guess, Ramadan Bombathon. Ramadan Bombathon 2017, day 13, according to religionofpeace.com. It says, terror in the name of Islam, 73 attacks total, 73 attacks and 809 kills. That's their report. 73 attacks, 809 kills. Then they go the extra step of comparing it. It says, terror in the name of Islam, 73. All other religions combined, 0. Muslims killed by Islamophobes, 0. Okay, making the very much needed point that what the media keeps trying to indoctrinate and brainwash everybody with, that the real problem is Islamophobia because Muslims are being endangered, etc. Yet here during the month of Ramadan, no Muslims have been harmed by anybody because of Islamophobia. However, the Muslims themselves have killed over 800 people in 13 days. 13 days. And so, in fact, let's go over the jihad report for May of 2017. Their jihad report, May of 2017. There were in the month of May a total of 214 attacks. And remember now, we're into the month of June. So They usually do at religionofpeace.com. They'll do, and it's actually thereligionofpeace.com. Let me make sure I get that in. Thereligionofpeace.com. That's the web address. But at the end of a month, once you get into a new month, then they can give you the grand tally. The tally, according to this website, there were a total of 214 attacks in the month of May around the world. 1,612 people were killed. 1,725 people were injured. There were a total of 44 suicide blasts, and this affected a total of 26 countries. And then, of course, they'll provide you with a list of attacks and the links to various news organizations around the world that report on these things. So they make, I think, a very good argument that Islam is not really the same as other religions. It's not the same as other belief systems because they don't have the same kind of record. Let's just do a quick comparison of a group that is seen as reprehensible in the mainstream and to most people. Most people would agree that the Ku Klux Klan as a white supremacist organization is just completely unacceptable. But if you go online and you look at the KKK and the reports on it, it is generally reported that the KKK killed 3,446 blacks in 86 years. 3,446 in 86 years. That's the comparison. Now, of course, everybody recognizes that's reprehensible. It's unacceptable. But do a comparison. The Muslims are going to kill that many people in about 2 months. Maybe it'll take them 2.5 months, maybe 3 months. But within 3 months, in the name of Islam, they will have killed as many people and more than the Klan did over a period of 86 years. If the Klan were out killing people in the name of their brand of white supremacy and so on, and killing blacks and targeting them and making all kinds of racial comments and, you know, shouting white power and all this other kind of stuff, and they were killing people every single month, would the media get on TV? And then the first thing we would hear from them be, well, we just need to guard ourselves against Klanophobia and just make sure that people are not thinking. Just remember, not all Klan members hurt people. You know, most Klan members are peaceful. They don't harm anyone. That's very important that we communicate that continually. Would that be their worldview? Would we hear that argument from anybody? No. You would never in a million years hear that argument. People would think that was a completely crazy argument to make. If you had Klan members running around killing people in the name of white supremacy, you've got to be kidding. They would be condemned to high heaven by everyone. They would be shut out of our system. It would, and that's what happened to the Klan because of its extreme racial views, because of its violent nature. It was ultimately shut out of our system, shut out of schools, colleges, universities, politics, etc. Now, a person who is a member of the KKK is not going to be able to get elected to the Congress. They're not going to be able to have access to positions of power in our country. They would be shouted down and pushed out. And exactly the same thing should happen to Islam. Nobody would be arguing that, well, we need to remember the peaceful members of the Klan and blah, blah, blah. Nobody would make that argument. They would recognize this is a dangerous ideology. It's not like everything else. These are people who are willing to use violence, and that's just unacceptable. And that's what the view of the Western world should be where Islam is concerned. The Western world must realize, should realize, and sooner or later, I think will realize, because there's just a growing movement of people who are watching this happen more and more and more. And now you've got people who continually use the Nuremberg trials as an example of what many of us believe is going to happen here in the future. Because at the Nuremberg trials, this is when the Allies went in and dealt with the Nazis and their upside down view of the world. I remember when I was a kid, one of the movies, and I, of course, I grew up in the 70s, but one of the movies that was well known was the film, the old black and white film, Judgment at Nuremberg, with Spencer Tracy, and Burt Lancaster was in it. And if you've never seen that film, I would recommend it. Go watch the film Judgment at Nuremberg. But the idea of Nuremberg was, just because you're the government does not mean you are allowed to make whatever decisions you want to make. You cannot legalize murder. You cannot victimize the common people in your country based upon some upside down view of right and wrong. And that's what the Nazis did. And that is what the left is doing throughout the Western world. These socialists that have crept into power and are abusing the powers of government, and they're doing it in such a way as to victimize the common people. Common people are being harmed, for example, every day in our country because of illegal aliens. We don't yet have the problems with Islam that they do in Western Europe right now. But the principles are very, very similar. Very similar, where you've got this continual victimization of innocent people because the powers of government are not doing what they're supposed to do. And they're much more concerned with protecting the criminal element than they are with protecting innocent people. I'm planning to do a future show on what the Bible says. I mean, the many instances in the scripture where you have kings and authorities and so on that refuse to exercise the authority that they've been given by God and to either restrain or punish the wicked. The three that come to mind right off the bat are King Saul. He would be one example, who refused to have King Agag put to death, which God had commanded. And so Saul ultimately lost his throne as a result. Then you had the story of King Ahab. King Ahab, who defeated Ben-Hadad in battle, but then he made a deal with Ben-Hadad afterwards and let him go. And God pronounced a judgment on him because he said he had let go one that the Lord had appointed for destruction. Then you have, of course, in the Old Testament, you have the story of Eli in 1 Samuel. Eli and his two sons, Phinehas and Hophni. Eli himself, interestingly, was not a bad fellow. It doesn't appear. Bad in terms of doing corrupt things. He's never accused, at least in the scripture, of doing any harm. His one failing was that his sons were corrupt. They were fornicating with the women at the temple. They had corrupted the sacrifice of the temple and so on. They had made the sacrifice to God abhorrent to the people. The people loathed it, because these priests were so corrupt. And when God sent a prophet to pronounce a judgment on the house of Eli, the prophet said to Eli that his sons had done all these things and you restrained them not. That was Eli's failing, was that he did not intervene and put a stop to what they were doing. And of course, he was the high priest. He had the authority to do so, but he did not exercise that authority in a godly manner. Even parents, for example, the Bible says that the parent who will not discipline their child hates the child, and that by disciplining a child, you'll keep his soul out of hell. So there are many scriptures that talk about the accountability of those who are in a position of authority to exercise godly judgment. As Jesus said, judge righteous judgment. We don't want to be hypocritical. We don't want to be unfair. But it is possible for government, I think, to have counterfeit compassion and misdirected or misguided mercy. And we find examples of that in the scripture. All right, let's go to our commercial break. We're going to talk more when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. We did want to tell you, in the event that you listen to our show at Worldview Weekend, we have a lot of people who catch our show at worldviewweekend.com. There with Brandon House. Brandon, now, who's doing an interesting series on Islam and confronting Dr. James White, who has apparently made comments about Islam. I mean, we know, James White, we've kind of gone over James White. White appears in our film Bridge to Babylon. He came out and did an interview. And of course, we confront him over the issues pertaining to the Bible and the history of the Bible and his defense of the critical text. Anyway, you watch that film, you learn very, very quickly why he believes what he does. And that is that he believes wrongly that modern textual criticism is some kind of exact science, when in fact there's very little science to it once you understand how it works. It's really based on theories and things that cannot be proven, which we're going to talk about here in a second. But I did want to mention, if you're catching us over at Worldview Weekend, we do have our own website at noiseofthunderradio.com, noiseofthunderradio.com. If you want to go into our archives, listen to our shows there. Also, our film website, which is our main site, is adullamfilms.com, A-D-U-L-L-A-M. films.com, named after the cave Adullam, 1 Samuel chapter 22, for those of you who might be new to the program. But there you can see the documentaries that we've produced over the years, watch previews of them, you can read about them, look at screenshots, stuff like that, and see the kind of work that we do through our ministry at adullamfilms.com. All right, so we've been talking about Islam today, been talking about not just the very aggressive invasion. That's the only thing that you can call it. And it's been called that repeatedly. The aggressive invasion of the West by Islam, which, if you know history, then you know that Islam has tried to invade Western civilization for centuries, for about 1300 years. And has failed up to now, but now is being brought in through immigration jihad, which is the hijra, which is where, and this is all part of the Islamic belief system, where they come in and they integrate themselves into society. They build their mosques and they build up their population and their influence and power until they get to a point where they can seize control of whatever country they're in. But that is their ambition throughout history. This is well known by anybody who studies Islam historically. Yet we have journalists, we have pundits, we have even people in the churches who are somehow or other denying that this is the case, that somehow or other, if you make mention of this, if you document it, then you're guilty of so-called Islamophobia, an irrational concern about Islam. That's the response that we're often getting in the media. Now, you know, I mentioned James White. Brannon apparently is confronting James White over Brannon's got his show here. It says, shockingly, we must report that Christian author and radio host James White has sat for a self-described dialogue with Yasir Qadhi, a Muslim imam from Memphis that has very troubling alliances and has made very troubling statements. Yet James White claims that Yasir Qadhi is a moderate Muslim and has said that Yasir has mentored him and instructed him as to what is the real Islam. That's a very disturbing thought right there. Mentored him. Very disturbing thought there. House Hadian and Dak Doc reveal why they believe Yasir is not a moderate Muslim and how White is being deceived by a Muslim man practicing taqiyya. Al-Taqiyya, the doctrine of lying or deceiving the infidel. So that's going on over at Worldview Weekend. Now, this is there's even another article on this where you have, this is one from a website called One Daring Jew. That's the name of the website, I'm assuming, by a Jewish author. But they've got an article there called Islam, Bad for Kafirs, the Infidels, Bad for Muslims, James White's Definitely Gone Soft on Islam. And then the author, and this was written a couple of years ago, the author goes on about, he says, quote, I have often found James White's ambiguous attitude regarding violence frustrating. In his latest podcast on the topic, he says, people always say I am soft on Islam. Why am I soft on Islam? Because I dare to recognize that just as there are differences of viewpoints among Mormons, there are liberal Catholics and conservative Catholics, and because I dare extend that same truthful observation that is founded in reality and truth to Muslims, that people say I am soft on Muslims. All right, so that's a quote posted in this article from James White, apparently from his podcast. And again, the article dates back to 2015, so it is a couple of years old. But White, he has been confronted on that issue. Now, in the past, whenever I've talked about James White and Islam, I talk about the fact that he debates Muslims on the Bible version issue and really the history of the Bible versus the history of the Quran. Now, I interviewed James, and when I interviewed him, you know, I said, you know, people criticize you because you have argued that the Bible and the Quran should be treated the same, you know, that you treat the Bible the same as the Quran and this kind of thing. And he made the, well, you know, the Bible has a history and so does the Quran, and we should hold the Bible accountable to the same standard that we hold the Quran and this kind of thing, all of which to me just sounds very, very strange coming from any Christian teacher. Just to me, the strangeness of it is just very strange. And of course, making these kind of historic arguments, really, the reason the Muslims, and when I say history, you have to remember, a lot of the history of the critical text scholars is not history. It's speculation and theory. And they call it history. And many pastors, many teachers, like White and others, are deceived into thinking that these theories are history, that these are historic facts, when they're not really facts. because they have no way of proving them. For example, the dating of the manuscripts, why certain omissions are there or not there, etc. They have no way of proving these things. They come up with theories about them, and then those theories are pronounced as factual, when the reality is that's just not the case. But anyway, the Muslims like to debate James White on this issue because his view of the Bible fits in perfectly with what was taught by Muhammad and all of their imams. And that is that Christians changed the Bible, and that Christians added all sorts of things into the texts of Scripture that were not originally there. Okay? Because that is the argument of those who defend the critical text. They argue that last 12 verses of Mark, John chapter 8, with the story of the woman taken in adultery, etc., etc., and many other examples, all of these things were added in. And see, for the Muslim, they say, aha, see, that's proof of what our imams have been telling us. The Christians changed the Bible. And this is what modern textual critics argue. In contrast, the traditional argument, the one presented by men like Dean John Bergen and others, as we talk about in Bridge to Babylon, the traditional argument is that no, it was not Christians who changed the Bible, it was heretics who changed the Bible. And these heretics were well known and well documented, the Gnostics in the early centuries. Interestingly, you know, we are out of time. We're going to have to wrap it up here. But on the next program, I'm going to talk about an article that was forwarded to us by one of our listeners on Codex Sinaiticus. It says, the headline, What's Missing from Codex Sinaiticus, the Oldest New Testament? And this is a recent article, incredibly. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.